Jesus said, "Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life?" When he said that, it doesn't record that anyone responded. It doesn't say all these hands went up around the circle. It simply says that Jesus continued on. And he said, "Since you cannot do even this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest?" So I'll ask you, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Seeing no hands, then why do we worry? Now that may seem like an odd question. You may think, well, I can't help it. It's just the way it is. It's the world I live in. It's the environment that I'm a part of. It's all these things that clamor for me that don't go right, that cause me to be concerned, that raise up my blood pressure, that raise up my anxiety levels. I can't help it. But the reality is that we can. Last week we started a series, and you may have seen that, the idea of as the deer pants for streams of water, so our soul longs for thee, O God. That there is something in us that yearns for something more, and I would suggest to you that this idea of worry or anxiety is one of those things that often starves us from that sense of refreshment that we are looking for at the Spirit level. We started off last week, we launched into learning some new habits. We're going to continue on this week and in the weeks ahead in September, some more of these habits that God has put in His Word and given to us over the centuries of the church that help us create that sense, that environment where we can drink in, where we can have that spirit nourished instead of feeling so parched as a deer who pants for water. Last week, we launched into some of the habits. We talked about creating space. We talked about something that, again, is kind of odd to many of us, the idea of meditation, or at least taking those initial steps. We offered up something called the one-minute pause. If you're not familiar with that or weren't here last week, talk to me afterwards. I'll be happy to give you that initial step of how it is we can begin to create space in the midst of the busyness of our world. St. Augustine said this. He said, "We must empty ourselves of all that fills us so that we may be filled with what we are empty of." If we yearn for God's peace, if we yearn for His rest, if we yearn for less of a sense of being strangled by the anxiety, we need to learn ways that can begin to empty ourselves of those things so that what we desire can begin to fill in. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about one of the ways that we can begin to empty ourselves of some of that stress. And we're going to talk about another habit, and it's one that we've all heard of before, and we all probably do it. It's one called prayer. Now, again, this may sound oversimplistic, but I want to walk you through. This is going to be, I think, maybe even potentially life-changing for you today, because it really is impactful. You know, prayer is one of those things that really should come easier for us than it does, doesn't it? And because sometimes we don't feel very effective in prayer, or we feel somehow forgetful in prayer, or we feel somehow that our prayers don't seem to matter for anything, we tend to begin to wonder, what's wrong with me? What am I doing wrong? How come I'm the one person, everyone else seems to have their prayer thing down, but I don't? And it begins almost a cycle of condemnation. We begin to worry. We begin to actually leave it farther and farther aside. When what we want to do is actually be drawn to the streams of water, as I said, the deer is, and so there to find our place to drink. We are spiritual beings. We've been created for intimacy with God. And because of that, closeness in relationship comes through communication, prayer, And so we are invited to come in prayer, but somehow it becomes still difficult for us, doesn't it? I don't mean just prayer out loud. I know sometimes that's hard for us to speak words out in prayer because we feel kind of like we're not going to say the right words, or we're not going to say it well, and people will laugh, or people will think we're weird, so we don't want to pray out loud. I get that. Okay, that's a lot of insecurities that we have, and that's fine. But when we talk about connecting with God and interacting with God and coming before God, offering to God our best, offering to God our yearnings, offering to God our ears so that we might listen for him to respond. This idea of communicating with God is difficult for us when it's been what we've been made to do. We are told that we are to pray continually, but honestly, don't we struggle to remember to pray at all? Pray continually. Is that even possible? Or if we do pray, maybe this is you, maybe it's not. If we do pray, oftentimes, it is only in the last resort. I love this quote from Corrie Ten Boom. She said, "Is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire?" Now think about that, because that's a pretty good illustration of how we often allow prayer. Does it guide us, or is it just kind of in the trunk along for the ride? Another quote, not quite as clever, but just as powerful. And this is from Oswald Chambers, who said, "We tend to use prayer as our last resort, but God wants it to be our first line of defense. We pray when there's nothing else we can do, but God wants us to pray before. And because we're human, we tend to want to do it on our own. We tend to want to do things on our own, and then if we get stuck, maybe we'll turn to God and ask him to come and help." But that's kind of putting things backward. It's going to always put us in a spot where we are somehow losing out on the peace that God intends for us. Through this gift of prayer. Prayer is a conversation with God. We know that. That's going to be a given. Prayer is more than just our wish list. It's not just writing our list of things we want for Christmas to dear Santa. This is something that we need to come, although keeping a list is helpful. You know, if you've not tried, I'll throw a couple of things out real quick before we move to our main point, which is sometimes we find prayer is hard, and it's because we allow our faulty memory to be the only thing that keeps us there. If you take a prayer journal and you write in it each day and you say, these are the things that I'm praying for in this day, and then the next day you open it up and you begin there again so you can continue on, pray for those things once again, come back and pray for new things maybe that have been put upon your heart, and then come back the next day. And again, you have something that kind of keeps you reminded, because most of us find it's difficult to just rely on our memory because our memories are so faulty. Or praying continually. Sometimes it finds it's difficult for us to walk in that awareness. And I don't know that we need to be walking around always with our hands clasped and our eyes closed, but we are called to be always in prayer. And maybe there's something called an arrow prayer that you'd like to take out and test out this week. That is simply like sending an arrow up, shooting it off a prayer just as you hear, see, feel something. Whether it be a cry for help, hey, I'm stuck here in this place, or maybe you're sitting next to a person on the bus or in the office and you simply offer a prayer, God be with them today. Looks like they're having a difficult time. Maybe you step up to the grocery store and you see the checker before you and it looks like they had a rough day. Maybe just simply say, not to them, to God. God bless them. Help them. Whatever burdens they are carrying, enter into that place and be their help. Maybe you walk into your classroom, and before you say anything to your class, good morning, before you even say a thing, you offer up just a little arrow prayer. God, guide my words, guard my heart, and open the minds of these young students. Just boom, something so quick, so easy. But if we start there, that we bring, there's a sense of awareness that we can make that more and more a part of what we do. Driving down the road, God be with that idiot who just passed me going 90 miles an hour. God knows. But instead of giving him the finger, yeah, or chasing him down, pray God be with them, protect them, they need it. You know, it's just developing a sense of an awareness and kind of keeping that connection close. Doesn't have to be a long and elaborate prayer. Doesn't have to have the right words, because it's not about the right words. It's about simply keeping our heart open to God and that continually keeping those things present before Him. And again, it's communication. So it's back and forth. Once you've had a chance to practice some of these others, maybe take a practice of saying a prayer, inviting God in, and then listening for just a short few moments. See if you hear God begin to speak to our heart in the quietness of it. These become habits that we have to begin to create, because while we are made for prayer, it doesn't come naturally or automatic for any of us. And so if we don't begin to make practices or habits of being intentional about growing in our awareness of God and our need to prayer, we always will seem to stumble, and prayer will begin to become, again, a difficult thing, something we feel bad that we don't do better. If you actually feel guilty about it, I think the guilty would win. And how sad that it is. Because out of that guilt and that shame, then we tend not to go there, which makes it all the worse. Whereas instead, God wants to invite us to come and to start today, to start anew, to not worry about what was yesterday, but to start something afresh and anew for us. But one of the things that does get in the way of prayer, even as it gets in the way of our peace, is this idea of worry and how it gets in our way, how all the anxieties of the world around us tend to grab a hold of us. Now, again, last week I mentioned that I was using a couple of different books, and one of them was this book from about 40 years ago, The Celebration of Discipline by Richard Foster. Great book. And again, I know some of you may have it, and I don't know if any of you have this one. This is a new book by John Eldridge called Get Your Life Back. And in this book, Eldridge points out something that he refers to as a key to this kind of prayer, key to this kind of prayer, which he calls benevolent detachment. Now, that's going to sound kind of funny, but it really is just setting boundaries for us, because Eldridge points out, and rightly so, that in the world that we have, that there's so much information, we are in information overload. And yet, while we are now connected through the internet, through our TV, through our computers, through our phones, while we are now connected to all the tragedies, all the heartache, all the difficulties in all the world around us, we were never meant to be able to carry all of those difficulties and habits. And so sometimes we become overwhelmed. We become so enmeshed and entangled in all the struggles of the world around us that we get overloaded to where we feel depressed, discouraged, or just wrung out. Eldridge says we need to work on a process of letting go so that we have boundaries. There was a book written a generation ago called that. Same idea, that we need to have certain boundaries to keep us healthy. This idea of detachment is simply because we cannot care about everything all the time. And so we need to be able to learn how to begin to let things go. Fortunately, in the Bible, it gives us that same pattern. Have you ever noticed in Philippians 4? Philippians 4, there is something there for us. And I want to just point it out. It says, do not be anxious about anything. Now, if you're like me, you're saying that's impossible. But if you're also like me, you're going to read on to the rest of the verse and see what he's saying. How would that even be? Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So it's not like turn a blind eye to everything that would cause you anxiety. It is learning how to take what is causing you anxiety and turn it into a prayer where you let it go, where it's no longer on your shoulders, it goes onto God's shoulders. Where it's no longer up to you to get it done or to carry it through, it is now up to God. You giving it over, it is a releasing. Do not be anxious for anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present those requests to God. And then there's a promise that follows. If we're able to do that, if we're able to move from things that cause us anxiety to taking them and releasing them, giving them to God in prayer, the promise is this, that the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. this begins to be that process that Eldridge talks about, this benevolent detachment. Not caring, but not having to carry everything. Take that which causes you anxiety. What is it? Maybe for you it's one thing, for me it's another. But I bet that we all have them, don't we? That thing that causes us anxiety, and say, I'm going to, instead of letting it eat me up from the inside out, I'm going to turn it over and release it to God for him to do what he can do with it. The first part of this verse, I'll just touch on it real quickly. In Philippians 4, it says this, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say it, rejoice. You let your gentleness be evident to all, for the Lord is near. Important piece here that we are to call to come with rejoicing hearts because of God's closeness to us. It is here that we're able to take that which is anxious and anxiety creating for us and then turn it into something that allows God to work through us and release us. And so this would be the pattern I would suggest to you, and I didn't give you anything to write it down on, but if you struggle with prayer like so many of us do, maybe start with this. I don't know what to pray for. Well, let me ask you this. Then what do you worry about? What causes anxiety in you? Take a moment and think about that. But before you get too far in that, because that'll take us down lots of rabbit holes and lots of difficult places, start like this. Take a piece of paper, just a sheet. I'll use this as a model. And down the left side, do like it said in Philippians 4. Note some things that bring you joy. Just anything today that brings you joy, write it down. You have one thing, two things, three things, 10 things, doesn't matter. Anything that brings you joy, write it down. And down the right side of your paper, then you go and say, these are the things that cause me anxiety. These are the things that I worry about. These are the things that keep me up at night. These are the things that's probably given me an ulcer, and I don't really want an ulcer. And then you do this, and then you simply take the left side, and you walk it down, and you pray through that left side. You start with something like this. Father, I thank you for whatever it is you put on that blank. I thank you for this, and I rejoice in you. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice, Paul said. So pray over that which gives you joy. And once you get to the bottom of your list, then go to the top of the right-hand side. And you take those things that cause you anxiety, and you say, Father, I give you this, whatever it is, and mean it. Just let that be the heart of your prayer. I'm giving it to you. I don't want to hold it any longer. I'm giving it to you. And I ask you to, however you fill in that blank. Now, if you do that, it's a very simple little pattern. But if you do that, and say you do it sometime during your day, maybe it's the very beginning of your day, maybe it's in the middle of your day, you got lunch break, you want to say, I need to decompress a little bit, I'm going to take a few minutes here for prayer. Maybe it's at the end of your day. You're just going to look back on your day and say, God, what are the things that brought me joy today? What are the things that are gnawing at me and they're causing me anxiety? If we let our joys and our anxious thoughts be kind of the guide for this Philippians 4 pattern, we'll find that it begins to open up just a pattern, a habit of us to bring it all before him, and then God can do what only God can do in the midst of our lives. Why do you worry if it does not enhance your life or add a single hour to it? It's because we don't know what else to do with it. Jesus invites us to meet him here in these moments of prayer, to not forget that he is there for us and to allow him to be the one who rescues us in the midst of our times and challenges. I want to ask us that we would take a moment simply to pray over us and pray for us as we begin to develop these spiritual muscles that we have within us that we can exercise and find God's peace. Father, I thank you that you have invited us to prayer, that you have created us for prayer. And even if we have felt inept or unable or somehow even defeated in the past, God, we thank you that you have given us all that we have need for. Help us in these moments that we live in now to begin a new habit even today, of taking our time to release to you that which holds us back. Every anxious thought, every threatening voice, every shameful memory, and release it to you. Father, I pray that you would help us to merely and humbly, truly, come before and receive your peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.